Well, you have survived, right? The Christmas shopping season. You know, the roads have been treacherous, not because of snow, but because of people trying to get to the sales. I know Kristen was talking about shopping somewhere. I think it was Walmart. It seems like it always is Walmart, right? But she was shopping at Walmart this week, and it was, I guess, early this week, and a big Christmas sale and everything, and she's got her three kids, our three kids with her, and she's got a buggy full of groceries or groceries and Christmas stuff, and she pulls up to the register, and a lady is behind her just like nudging her with the buggy. And finally, Kristen turned around and wondering, is this lady wanting my attention? And she said, this lady said, can I get in front of you? I just have like three things. So she gets around her and everything. Kristen says she was not very nice about it, but she said, yeah, sure. I mean, it's Christmas time, and, you know, we need to overlook stuff like that. And the lady goes around her, and then she gets like 10 things from, you know, the aisle right there. And Kristen's like, man, people are just in bad moods this time of year. She said, it's so sad. That at Christmas time, sometimes we get so misfocused. But I love Christmas. I love Christmas, and as a Christian, Christmas and Easter are the two times a year that I think are just so special for us as Christians. Such great opportunities for us to be lights. It's a time of shopping, of spending time with family. It's a time to focus on God. And now as we get to this Sunday and the next couple of days, you know what it's a time for, right? New Year's resolutions. There was a news agency that did a study on the top five New Year's resolutions. Now, number five was this. Number five was take up a new hobby. Number four was to make more money. And number three was to improve relationships. Number two, you want to guess what it was? What do you think the number two was? Nope. Stop smoking. Number two was stop smoking. Number one, yes, lose weight. Right. That was number one. There was a story, you might have heard this story before, but there was a man and a woman, they were getting ready for bed. The husband was already gone to the bathroom to get ready for bed and everything, and the wife was cleaning up the house, and she walks into the bathroom, and she sees her husband standing on the bathroom scale. And what is he doing, you think, when he's standing on the bathroom scale? He's looking down at the numbers, and as he stands up, he does this, right? Because we all know that makes us lighter. And so he sucks in his gut, right? And she just looks at him and just kind of starts laughing herself, and she said, honey, you know that sucking in's not gonna help, right? And he says, well, sure it will. That's the only way I can see the numbers, right? Suck in his gut. But it's a good time to look back, isn't it? And we'd make those New Year's resolutions because we're looking forward. And I love the last Sunday of the year. When Bo said he was going to be out of town and asked me to preach this Sunday and next Sunday, I was so excited because I love these two Sundays. It's a great chance for us to look back and to make sure that we don't leave this year with those lessons that God has taught us, all right? That we don't leave those in the past year, but that we build on those and we take them into the new year. And it's a good time of year also to look forward to what God has for us. I know this year is packed a lot for our family, right? God's moved us to a new country. He's moved us to a church that we have, man, grown to love. And we love the people here, and we love being here. Chris and I have said several times over the past few weeks that, man, if we could go back tomorrow, we wouldn't go back. That we love living here. Now, I know you might say something different in February, right? But as of now, right, we love living here, and it's a place that we know God has us. And we look forward with expectation to the new year, not only for Southwinds Mahogany and the start of this new church, but I believe God's going to do great things here in Cranston. And with both of our churches with Southwinds. And I'm excited about this year. I'm excited to come back a year from now and for us to have two churches meeting, Lord willing, two churches meeting, and for us to come back and share, here's what God's done. Man, it's so exciting just to think about, to think about what God's doing in Cranston, to think about what God's doing in Mahogany, to look forward, even then, where's God leading us next as churches? It's just a fun time of year, and it's going to be an exciting year, 2015. I want to do that this morning. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 30, if you will. I love the first five verses in Psalm 30 because I think they are that. They're good verses for us to look at and think about. What's God taught me? What do I need to grow in as a result of this past year and what He's done in and through my life? And in this next year, what do I need to hear? What do I need to watch for? What do I need to be ready for? Psalm 30. Go there with me if you will. In the first three verses, I think here's what we see. I think we see a chance to look back over our life. First, to look back over our life. First three verses say this: I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from Sheol. You spared me from among those going down to the pit. In saying, I will exalt you, Lord, David is saying, I'm going to praise you on purpose. That's what exaltation is. It's not by accident. It's with intentionality. I'm going to praise you, God, on purpose. He lists the reasons why, right? In those three verses, he says, these are the things God has done for me. I think it's a great lesson for us as we look back. God, show me what you've done for me in the past year. Show me what you've done in my life and through my life over the past year, because those ways God has proved himself faithful to us. And he says this, he said, you've lifted me up. You've not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. You've healed me. You've saved me. As I was going down to the pit to Sheol, as I was headed toward hell, he said, you rescued me. Can you say that? If you have a relationship with Christ, that's what he's talking about. He's that relationship with God. It only happens through Jesus Christ. That we were headed toward an eternity in hell and God saved us. So David's saying, I will praise you on purpose. Others may forget you. Others may despise you. Some may not even believe in you, God. But I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift your name and I'm going to lift it high. And I'm going to do it on purpose. And I'm going to do it for all the many reasons that you've shown yourself faithful to me. G.S. Bowles was a preacher in the 1800s. And he asked this question of his congregation. It was back in 1863, and he asked them the question, what is praise? What is praise? The answer, he told them, he said, was the rent that we owe to God. He concluded that the larger your house, the greater the rent should be, right? The larger house we have, the bigger mortgage or bigger rent or whatever we have. And he said, in other words, the more you get, the more you should praise God. Now, of course, we know that we praise God even when we don't see what he's doing, right? But man, how true is it that, man, every time God proves himself faithful in our life, it's just another reminder for us that we need to praise God, that we need to lift his name high. Of course, that's not the only time, right? Job, when everything was taken away from him, what did he do? He praised the name of God. But in those times where God is shows himself faithful to us and we see that directly, it's just a good reminder for us. I know that God has richly blessed so many of our lives, right? We may not live in a huge house or as big of a house as we want to live in, or we may not have the nicest car we want to have or whatever, but God has blessed us here. He's incredibly blessed us. Those are good reminders for us to praise him. It's a good time to look back over our life, to see what God's done to prove himself faithful. Take time right now, this time of year, to remember his goodness to you so that you can intensively and intentionally praise his name. Remember those times maybe when you were stretched financially and didn't know where the money was going to come from and then God provided. Remember the times you were sick, didn't know if you'd ever get over the cold or whatever it was and God restored your health. If you have a relationship with Christ, remember when you were still guilty in your sin and God spoke into your life. Maybe he led a friend to you. Maybe he led somebody to invite you to Southwinds or some other church and you gave your life to Christ. God rescued you from your sin. Look at what he's done in your life. And man, just to praise him, it sounds to me almost petty, does it not? Does it to you too? I mean, it just sounds so minimal that God has done all this for me, for my family, and all he asks is that we lift his name up. That we praise him. So small. But it's exactly what David does. Second thing I think we see here in verse 4 is that he calls for us to sing and praise his name. Verse 4 says, sing to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and praise his holy name. Sing to the Lord, you faithful ones, and praise his holy name. So we look back over our life. We look at the past. And it affects what we do in the present. Because in the present, he says, all right, now as you look back, he says, here's what God's done in my life. As you look back at your life and see what God's done in your life, now, right now, in the present, sing and praise his name. Sing and praise His name. Two different commands. Similar commands, but two different commands. You could say praise would involve not just singing, right? That it would involve the way we live our life, the glory to whom we live, right? It would involve doing everything with the greatest effort to bring glory to God. It would involve sharing the gospel with somebody and in that way praising the name of God. It can mean bragging on God and telling people what God's done for you in your life. But there's no getting around the first one, right? To sing. Say, well, I don't have a great voice. I'm not that good of a singer. I don't have a whole lot of talent as a singer or anything like that. Nobody wants to hear me sing. I sing in the shower and that's about the only place, right? But David says here to sing. To sing and to praise His name. Sing, O you faithful ones, and praise His name. It's a command. And it's a command that was inspired by God for David to write. It's in the Word of God for us to sing, to praise His name. And not singing in praises to Him, then it reasons that we are being what? Disobedient to God. And we are to sing and praise Him. He didn't say, all right, let everybody with good voices sing. Let everybody that can sing harmony sing. Sing, you faithful ones. If you're faithful to God, he says, you will sing and praise His name. As we look back, as we look back at what God's done, as we're right here, right now, in the moment, and making a commitment for the future, let's commit. Sing and praise God. To have those times, whether it's in corporate worship or in private worship, where we sing, where we actually lift our voices to God, but also where we praise God in other ways, where we live our life for God intentionally, where we share what God's done in our life with other people. Whether it means that we share a testimony with a neighbor or a coworker or a friend, we tell them what God's done, and in that way lift His name high. We look back, we sing praise, we look at the past, we sing and praise Him in the present. And then I think he also tells us something we could do in the future. And I think for us, in our context, is that we need to trust God in 2015. We need to trust Him in 2015. Verse 5 says this, "For His anger lasts only for a moment, but His favor a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but there is joy in the morning." As we look back, isn't that, it's easy to forget, but when we're intentional about looking back at what God's done in our life, isn't that easy to remember? Right? That God will prove Himself faithful. We might have times of weeping. We might have some tough times. 2014 for you might have been a tough year. Whether you lost a loved one or lost a job or whatever it may have been. Maybe it was a tough year. But haven't you seen God prove Himself faithful? And so now going into a new year, God deserves our faith. He deserves our trust. Three reasons he gives here that we can trust God. He says his anger is only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and full of faithful love." Catch what he means there. He says, full of faithful love. The picture of a glass that's not just close to the top, but it's absolutely filled up. God is full of faithful love. He's perfect in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our offenses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His faithful love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That God has not given us what we deserve. Even if we can look back at 2014 and say, man, that was an awful year. That was terrible. Understand that we deserve so much worse. God has so blessed us. He's so given us what we did not deserve. He's been gracious, that faithful love. Verse 10 is a reminder there that God has not dealt with us according to our sins. Sure, He gets angry when we act out in our sin. Just like any good parent does, right? If you're a parent, you probably get angry with your kids from time to time. When they disobey you, when they do things in spite of what you've told them to do, there are times when we say, man, that's not good. You can't do that, right? I know your kids never do that, right? Maybe if you don't have kids, and you can think back to your childhood, and you're probably the only one perfect in here, right? But maybe you disobeyed your parents from time to time. Sure, God gets frustrated with us. Sure, He gets angry at our sin, at the way we act. But praise God that His anger is not forever. That He's full of faithful love and not anger. Second is His favor is for a lifetime. Luke 11:13 says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We need to trust God in 2015. Why? Because His favor isn't just for this lifetime, but for our eternal lifetime. That it doesn't run out. That we don't lose favor with God when we take our last breath here on this earth. That we keep the favor of God for an eternity if we're a child of His. If we've given our life to Jesus Christ. If we've placed our faith in Him and believed that Christ died for our sins and committed to follow Him. We have God's favor. And He shows us that through just that, doesn't He? Through sending Jesus to die for us. He gave His Son for our lives. And third is this. And the third reason we can trust God this next year is that we can know that no matter what happens, joy is on the way. Weeping may spend the night, but there is joy in the morning. Sometimes before we get to the joy, we have to go through the weeping, don't we? Sometimes before we can have those mountaintop experiences, we have to have the valley experience. And doesn't it put an awesome perspective? Because what if it were just all mountaintop all the time and we never had the valley? We wouldn't appreciate the mountaintop. Sometimes we have to go through that weeping to get to the joy. He's saying, look, you can count on trials and tribulations. You can count on things happening in your life that will cause you to weep. But what I love about that verse is after that statement is not a period, it's a comma. He says, but there is joy in the morning. Story doesn't end with weeping. That comma leaves room for great expectations. That comma leaves room for joy heading our way in the new year. The morning is on its way. So look back at what God's done in your past. If you're like me, when I step back and take a look at everything God's done for me and in spite of me, it's convicting on me of the times when I don't have faith in God. When I step back really and look, here's what God's done in spite of who I am. Here's the lessons He's taught me. Here's what He's grown in me. Man, it's so convicting when I have those times in my life where I don't have faith. I think it probably is that way for all of us. As we conclude, do these three things. And I want to ask you to do this. Just a little bit different today, but I want to ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you for just a minute to do that. Look back over this past year or so and ask God to reveal to you the things that He's done in your life. Next, I want to ask you to help, ask Him to help you learn the lessons He's taught you, to see what He's grown you in, and also, as a result, commit to sing and praise His name. And as our worship team comes to lead us in the last song, I want to ask you lastly this, to commit to make 2015 a God-filled year in your life. To commit to grow closer to God, to live in faith, to trust God in this next year.